Hello friends, it is good to greet you all again and we warmly welcome you to another half hour of Radio Fellowship. This is Harry Benton speaking and once more it is my privilege to bring you today's presentation of Times of Refreshing, a program of fine gospel recordings and meditation from God's Word, the Bible. The topic we are going to consider briefly today is the names the born-again believer is called or known by in the New Testament. As we look at some of these God-given names, we trust and pray that you will be encouraged by the thoughts we share with you and be uplifted spiritually. So as we open our program musically, let's enjoy together the song entitled The Family of God.
Because we're family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. From the door of an orphanage to the house of a king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong.
By way of introduction to our devotion today, let me first draw your attention to what is recorded in Acts chapter 15 and verse 14. This is what we read. Simeon, that is the Apostle Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentile nations to take out of them a people for his name. From the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, to this point in time, through the preaching of the gospel, countless thousands of people would be saved. God in sovereign grace is taking out from among mankind, from every tribe, a people for himself. Peter is giving evidence. He is witnessing to the truth of what our Lord Jesus said before he went to the cross. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said to his disciple Peter, "Upon this rock," speaking of himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church spoken of here is not referring to a material building as we see them erected, but it is an innumerable company of people. A people for himself is clearly seen in the words, "my church," gathered from every tribe, tongue and nation. The church here is ecclesia, which means called out ones, separated ones, those who have been saved by the grace of God, those who have been gathered out through the divine operation of the triune God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, we have a wonderful revelation of the threefold work of the Trinity. 1. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Elect means to pick out, to select out of a number. This choice, out from a number, is dominated by the foreknowledge of God. 2. Through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. God the Holy Spirit is at work. His divine operation brings the sinner thus chosen into the experience of salvation. The Holy Spirit brings the sinner to the act of faith, to believing, which is unto obedience. And thirdly, the last phrase of verse 2 says, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Here is the work of God the Son. Through his sacrifice, through his death on the cross, he cleanses the believing sinner by his precious blood. My dear friends, this threefold work of the triune God brings the person who is saved into the family of God. We know in a family circle, when one is born into a family, a name is chosen, is given, and the child is identified by that name. So likewise, it is in the family of God. On the experience of our new birth, as being born again, we take on the name children. And this is the first of the names the Christian is known by. The born-again believer is a child of God. We are the children of God. And we will continue with this thought after we listen to our next recording.
From rags unto riches, from silver to gold, from tinsel to diamond, of value untold, from the
Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 reminds us that we are all the children of God by faith. When we exercise a personal faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, we become the children of God. Now, when we are born again, the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. He comes into the life of every born-again believer. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, we read, "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The revised version of John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "To as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, to them that believe on his name." Now the King James Authorized Version of the same verse puts it this way, "To as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Children of God, sons of God. Both are beautiful expressions of a wonderful truth. But what is the difference? Children of God gives prominence to the fact of our spiritual new birth. We are born from heaven. Our new birth has its origin in God. Being called sons of God, this stresses the dignity and character of relationship. Our position, what we come into through the new birth experience. And there is to be a character in the born-again believer consistent with our position of son placing. Children of God relates to the fact of our spiritual birth. Sons of God relates to our character and position as a son or daughter in God's family. My friends, if you are a born-again believer, then the Holy Spirit must have a prominent part in your life. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says, "As many as are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God." Being led by the Spirit implies cooperation in the life of the believer with the one leading. There should always be a wholehearted response. In Romans chapter 8 verse 17 we read of another name the Christian is known by. Listen to this. "If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." Here is another wonderful aspect of the work of sovereign grace in the life of the believer. Friends, an heir is one who receives by lot an inheritance. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." This hope of eternal life was promised before the foundation of the world. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In the eternal counsel of the Godhead, long before time began, you and I, by the grace of God, were destined to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. By virtue of the sonship bestowed upon us as heirs, we are to share in all things that belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 says that Jesus Christ is heir of all things. The dignity of our position as sons and daughters in God's great family makes us co-inheritors. All that belongs to the Father and the Son is assigned to them who are saved. When our Lord Jesus returns to gather us to himself, we shall enter into the reality and eternal joy of our inheritance.
I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see all the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. just anywhere that two or three are gathered there. And the Spirit of the Lord will be there too. There's no fellowship so sweet, and there's no thrill that can compete with the thrill that I feel whenever God's children meet. And on that
we read letters written by the Apostle Paul, we see that he addresses the Christians to whom he writes by the name brethren. This name brethren conveys to us the thought of relationship, not in the natural flesh and blood relationship, but a spiritual relationship. Being brought together through grace into the family of God, Paul regarded them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul also used endearing terms when he wrote his letters, for this relationship was not only a spiritual relationship, but an affectionate relationship. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul writes, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, he writes, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved in the Lord." My friends, this spiritual relationship is a sharing relationship. It is a continuing relationship. It is a peaceable relationship. There is no room for discord in this relationship. This wonderful relationship should bind Christians together. Psalm 133 and verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, that is, brothers and sisters, to dwell together in unity." Is this how it is in your Christian fellowship? Now let's consider the name saint or saints. This is an honourable name, a name of high degree with dignity and glory. In Romans chapter 1 verse 7 it says, "We are called to be saints." Called to be means appointed, divinely summoned to the position of being a saint. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 we read that God has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Friends, saints are not called to live a holy life in order to be saints, but because we are saints, as a result of the sanctifying power of the Spirit of God, holiness should therefore be displayed in our lives. It is a condition of being separated to God by divine call. To be saints is to partake of the character of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15 says, As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now this word conversation really means behaviour, your manner of life. We must always remember that through the experience of salvation, through being born again, we have entered into a new state of being, that of inward holiness. And this is by virtue of the Holy Spirit being resident in us. When we give our lives over to the control of the Holy Spirit, this inward holiness will have an outward expression in our lives. The great evangelist D.L. Moody once said, "The Christian's life is the world's Bible." And the poet Gilbert once wrote, "You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men will read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you?" Each of us who belong to the family of God, let us ever remember that someone is watching our manner of life. They watch how we act as a father, as a mother, how we treat our neighbours, how we conduct ourselves in the everyday affairs of life, how we behave under stress, how we act in times of trouble and adversity, as well as in prosperity. People will form an opinion of Jesus Christ by the way we represent him in word and deed.
If not in you, I wonder where will they ever see the one who really cares? If not from you, how will they find? There's one who heals the broken heart and gives sight to the blind. But you're the only Jesus some will ever see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. Cause you're the only Jesus some will ever see. And if not you, I wonder who will show them love, and love long can make things new. If not from you, how will they learn? There's one who'll trade their hopelessness for joy in return. Ever see. And you're the only words of life that some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. Cause you're the only Jesus some will ever see. So let him shine. Ever read, so let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. You're the only Jesus, you're the only Jesus.
Is there someone listening today who is not yet one of God's great family? We want to tell you, friends, there is still room for you. Today is your opportunity. God in love invites you to come. He stands at the open door ready to welcome you as His child. All you have to do is confess to Him that you are a sinner, and then repent of your sin and by faith receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life. By doing this, you will, through God's grace, become a child of God, a son of God, an heir, joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now we remind all our listeners that this program has been recorded on cassette and is available upon request, free and postpaid. To obtain your copy, we invite you to write to Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 3140. The number of the program is 1106. 1106. And the mailing address again is Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 3140. This broadcast has been a radio missionary outreach of the Christian Brethren Assemblies of Victoria and is made possible by God's provision through His people. We thank you, friends, for your listening support. And till next we meet, this is Harry Venton for the Voice of Melody team, wishing you God's richest blessing. Goodbye for now, and remember, keep looking up.